This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and in studio with me, Wong Xiaoning and Ku Sichuang, who both had a very interesting conversation with YB Ong Kiang Ming and currently former Deputy Minister of MITI. And to continue the discussion of what's been going on, it was an eventful night for political observers as everyone watched the outcomes of various party meetings that taking place, as Lim Guo Ning alluded to in his press conference yesterday evening. The Bersatu Supreme Council convened at their headquarters in Petaling Jaya, and Party Secretary General Dato' Marzuki Yahya announced that they were rejecting Mahathir's resignation as party chairperson.
Meanwhile, UMNO and PAS top leaders met over a dinner at Putra World Trade Centre. There was, however, no official statement from them. And when asked, PAS President Abdul Hadi Awang said, wait and see, and what is the next development when asked by the media. Another group we heard from was the PKR faction in exile, led by Dato' Sri Azmin Ali. In a statement, they said that they had attempted to protect Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad from being undermined by Pakatan Harapan.
Yes, and with that, there are so many puzzle pieces moving around. It's hard to make sense of what's going on. And I think the previous conversation with YB Ong Kiang Ming has sort of given us a better picture of what's going on. But to add on to that, joining us on the line for some analysis is Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Welcome to the show, Bridget. And last night saw both Bersatu and UMNO PAS held holding separate meetings. Bersatu have come out to reject the resignation of Tun Dr. Mahathir. From Bersatu and UMNO PAS have indicated that they might have an audience with the King today. What do you think is going on here?
Well, there are two different issues. I think what we're seeing in the context of Bersatu is that there is a split in the party, and I think that many of those who have been on the end that were not seen to have disobeyed Mahathir have actually recognized the reality is that Bersatu is a party that can't survive on its own, and they are dependent on Tun Mahathir. And so I think what we're seeing is an attempt for Bersatu to continue to have relevance as a player in the political process and the factions that have split off continue to have their relationship with Tun Mahathir. And this is part of the ongoing sort of elite wrangling as these particular actors try to position themselves in the system. Now, the UMNO PAS issue is a somewhat different one. I think what we're seeing is that these two parties are trying to use their leverage to determine the outcome that favors them. And I think that there are two outcomes that favor them. One is the coalition numbers that work in their favor, which at this point doesn't seem to have the same resonance as it did a couple days ago, or an election. And I think UMNO and PAS will start articulating their messages, which is that they'll talk about the need for the country to have change, that they need to be their argument that they will protect the Malays and to promote Malay unity. And I think there'll be more attention to if they are not in the elite position that they'll push for elections, because this is where they will be seen to have more of an advantage given recent electoral outcomes compared to Pakatan Harapan. I think my concern for UMNO and PAS at this point of these last few days is everything has been largely at the elite level. While, of course, ordinary people have responded with a lot of dismay and confusion and at the same time concern, I think what we have not yet seen is the parties mobilize their grassroots. And I think this is a very precarious time for Malaysia in this transition. And I think UMNO and PAS have a position, have the power to mobilize their grassroots. And I think that they recognize that the stakes are high. And I think that it will be very important to watch that these things are played prudently, that there isn't an escalation outside of the elite level.
Richard, to what extent do you have a sense of the grassroots sentiment insofar as that the new coalition being postulated is very much a Malay party?
Well, in the context of the grassroots and UMNO and PAS, they see this as a sense of protecting their community, articulating their communities. Many of them feel displaced. There's strong allegiance to the leaders and support for the grassroots. I mean, keep in mind that Pakatan Harapan doesn't really have the same level of grassroots. UMNO and PAS can mobilize sectors. And I think there's there is some apprehension among many of the grassroots that there was a sense of elation that there was a chance that they were going to win back power, and this has not necessarily come to fold at this particular juncture. So I think that this is something to look out for as things move forward.
And Bridget, if we look at the bigger picture, right, what do you make of the changing narrative around Tun M's involvement in the so-called coup?
Well, look, I think that, as I've been thinking about this issues of intrigue, I was reminded of the novel I, Claudius, which is a scene is quite a lot of level of vice and intrigue about individuals. I think there are three fundamental issues. One is the level of involvement of Tun. I think that Tun Mahathir has been involved in issues that involve the machinations in some form, he has responsibility for putting in place and empowering and pitting different actors in his divide and rule politics. The second aspect is whether or not he was played out by some of his allies over the weekend. I think the jury is still out on this issue. I think Pakatan Harapan is definitely positing that position. And I think there is clearly some indications that there was intrigue among different actors, particularly as the Asman Ali group and Muhyiddin Barzata group took different positions. But I think the third issue is of what the decisions that Mahathir makes ahead. And I think these are more important. We have to judge his actions, not the things that are being said about his actions. And I think, the reality is that there will be not, he has been the leader of this country before he resigned, and after he's now as an interim or a prime minister, and for a period of time that is an interim that is perceived. It is his, he has put the country in this position he is the leader. He ultimately has responsibility for it. So the choices that are being made ahead, I think, will be very important, and I think we'll judge what Mahathir's role has been in the narrative that will definitely be told in history.
In your opinion, Bridget, what happens to Asman Ali now and his band of 10 more members?
Well, I think that Asman Ali's power really came from when he was in PKR. He served as a role. He served to divide PKR into Weak and Anwar, Ibrahim, and many of his other allies inside the party. So now that he's out, he's actually less influential in terms of being able to impact the political process. Similarly, so he's less influential in terms of his numbers are only 10 or 11 in terms of the numbers that are being articulated. He's got a situation where he's being touted as betraying his patron. So he doesn't seem to have even a feudal relationship into the system that is as strong. So his relative position in terms of a kingmaker or an influencer has changed. But also given the reality that the numbers are tight in terms of the configurations, 11 seats do matter in terms of the outcome. So he still maintains a role in the political wrangling, but his relative influence has declined.
So on let's talk about numbers then, the parliamentary seats. What kind of configurations could we be seeing in a bid to gain control of a majority in parliament? And how important a role could the East Malaysian parties play here?
The East Malaysian parties are crucial. They have the numbers in Warisan and GPS to determine the outcome of who becomes the next Malaysia's prime minister. And I think they are aware of that, and they're using their clout in the negotiations. And I think that this will have a longer term, not just a question about numbers. If they play they use their cards as I think they are in the negotiations, this could have a profound impact of changing the federal-state relationship with Sabah and Sarawak. And so it's not just about the individual who is going to be empowered and the coalitions that are going to be empowered, but it also has to do with the nature of political relationships that affect these East Malaysian communities quite significantly.
Very quickly, Bridget, what do you think will be discussed at the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council meeting today?
Well, I'm not a purview to what is in the sense of what is being said, but let me just say that I think what should be said is how that Malaysia's reputation can be improved and in terms of showing and signaling to the international community of political stability and signaling that the economy is strong. I think that these elites need to recognize that this is doing much damage to Malaysia, and this needs to be addressed as they focus. If they continue to completely focus on themselves, I think this is not good for the country.
All right. Thank you very much, Bridget. That was Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. And we've got a poll running on Twitter right now, actually. What is the best way forward? And 51%, a simple majority, have voted for snap elections. Let us know what you think over at BFM Radio on Twitter. And after this, Khoo Swee Chiang and Wong Xiaoning will be speaking to Jahabah Sadiq and Karim Razlan for their take on what's going on in the political sphere here in Malaysia. So stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.